When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diolis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes. And today I am delighted to be joined by Kevin McCluskey and also Chris McElwain. We are here, of course, to discuss Celtic versus Aberdeen. It's a Scottish Cup. It's a semi-final. The teams are out. Gentlemen, let's have a wee chat about the starting 11. Any shocks for you, Kev McCluskey?
No. It's a one-word answer, no. I think it's a really strong team he's gone out with. I know there'll be a few talking points in that team. Probably, you know, scales in over Navrotsky, I think it's a talking point. Even Callum coming back in is a bit of a talking point, considering I think Iwata's done pretty well since he's had the jersey. And then Yang starting also will probably be the major talking point. But for me, I'm really happy with that lineup. It's really strong. The defence more or less is picking itself. That midfield's your front, so your first choice midfield you would pick week in, week out, if everyone's fit. And a forward line that's got Kyogo in it has always got a threat of goals. So really, really happy with that lineup. And I'm hoping, sitting here today, that it's going to be strong enough to see us reach another Scottish Cup final.
Let's hope so. Let's hope it is. The sun's out, which is quite synonymous with my youth Scottish Cup latter stages, particularly the final. And here we go. Here's the team lineup for anyone who has not yet seen it. It's Joe Hart in goals with Alistair Johnston right back, coming right back into form. Carter Vickers, having returned from injury, gives an assuredness and a composure about the entire Celtic side. Big question, as Kev says, who was going to be partnering him? And it's Liam Scales right back into the starting 11. Navrotsky drops to the bench. Let us know what you think about that in the comments section. On the left-hand side, it's Greg Taylor, and then we've got the midfield three of Matt O'Reilly, Rio Hatate, and Callum McGregor. It would be interesting to see how often this season that three have started a game for Celtic. Not as often as we would have liked. But the talking point, of course, was who was going to drop out for the captain. Has Rodgers made the right decision by dropping Iwata out? Let us know. Kuhn on the right, Yang on the left, and Kyogo through the middle. Big discussion point about who we'd be playing on the left yesterday. Chris and I spoke about that. There was a few options, and Chris nicked his dad's one, which was to play, who was it, out on the left?
Kyogo. I thought, you know, we were looking to replicate that Maeda hassling of Tavernier when we get to the Rangers game. And I thought Kyogo might have had a shout today. But, you know, overall, I'm not too worried about the lineup today. I think the biggest question was going to be on that left-hand side. Yeah, I think he's obviously stuck with Yang, but we might see Palmer coming on later in the game, or maybe even I didn't see, was Forrest on the bench? Actually, I never noticed the Forrest was on the...
The bench is made up, yes, he is in there, alongside Palmer, Ida, Navrotsky, Iwata, Bernardo, Bain, the lesser-seen Bain, Kelly and Ralston. So Forrest is on that bench alongside that collection.
We could see a wee Forrest cameo then as well at some point. And I think it's important to get some minutes into these guys' legs. But what I thought about the lineup was it's a bit of a statement of intent from Rodgers. I think, you know, it's showing that he is taking the tournament seriously. I know it's semi-final and you should be, but it's nice to see what I think is a more forward-going line. I do have a bit of sympathy with the latter. I don't think he's done too much wrong since he's been asked to come in and play the role. But I think, you know, obviously, it's a no-brainer to bring your captain back in if he's fit and healthy. But I think, you know, what that also gives us is maybe just a little bit more forward thinking in terms of that central midfield. You know, should maybe free up O'Reilly and Hatate to go and do, you know, what we know they can do and what they're good at. I think the interesting thing, as you say, we've not seen that preferred central three all season. You know, I think this is one of the few times we've actually had them together, and it probably couldn't come at a better time in the season, to be honest. You know, we're in two competitions, we've got a chance of getting a final today, and, you know, we're in pole position in the league. So, you know, this is the point where you want these guys to come back and you want your strongest starting lineup. So, yeah, no surprises, but like Kev, I think that's the right lineup. Just wants to go and, you know, make it worthwhile and bag a few goals today, it'd be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at the record that Brendan Rodgers has got in this competition, you look at the record he's got at Hampden, it's sensational, right? And you were thinking yesterday, we were talking about it, Chris and I, about the starting 11. And I think sometimes, Kev, you think about what you would do against what Rodgers would do. I had no doubt Rodgers was going to bring Scales back in. I was watching the pre-match yesterday, and I just got the sense when he was talking about Liam Scales, you know, he's a guy for me that is a first pick for Brendan Rodgers, and he's shown that all season, regardless of the fitness of Stephen Welsh or of Nat Phillips or Lagerbjelk of Navroski. So what made us think that it was going to change now? It's probably because we're quite fickle as football fans. There's a lot of people probably in the comments who would have played Navroski today. I think I suggested that that's what I would have done. I would have liked to have seen Navroski with a run of games. Is this the right time to give them it, though, Kevin? Is that in the back of the mind of the gaffer? He knows what Scales is going to bring to the table today. Navroski's still a wee bit of an unknown, kind of, what would you call him? An unknown what?
Quantity.
Yeah, quantity. That's the word. An unknown quantity, yes. Thank you for that, helping me out, Kevin. But I do think that it doesn't bode well for the summer. And what I mean by that is, Navroski was brought in for 4.3. He was not brought in to be a backup. Now, we know that Liam Scales, that unknown quantity that he was at the beginning of the season, see, I'm now using your words that I couldn't find a minute ago. Liam Scales, you know, he's unfancied. He's unfashionable. He divides opinion, all of these things, right? But he's kept all of the guys out of the team. What does it say for the pre-season, though, Kevin? Does it say to you that, right, we're not bringing a £4.3 million guy to sit on the bench? What does it say about the future of Navroski long-term?
I'll answer the short-term one first, which would be about Scales starting the game over Navroski. And I think, like you've said, that it's a bit of a no-brainer in one sense that it would be Scales, because we've done so many of these shows and we've all had these fanciful ideas from time to time that we'll move to a 3-5-2 or we'll try some different formation, some different approach. And Rodgers is stuck with 4-3-3 for the entire season. He's stuck with the players that have been in the team that have done the job for him for the entire season. And now coming into the business end is definitely not the time to go changing that. Like, I know this is a cup game, but we're one game away from Hampden then if we win it. But if you look to the league games, everything's must win now. So you don't add any extra jeopardy to that by bringing somebody like Navroski in to play it. We could all sit here and possibly agree that Navrotsky's a better defender. He's maybe, you know, got better qualities as an all-round player than Liam Scales. But right now, Scales has had the jersey all season. He's kept all comers, all challengers out of the team. So I think he's earned the right to stay there until the summer. Or let's get a little bit ahead of ourselves until the league is won, if we end up winning it. And then maybe Navroski can get the last game or two to show what he can do then. But until then, I think it's Scales' jersey. And then in the summer, I think we'll have quite a bit of a rebuild across the whole team. So everyone kind of goes back to ground zero. It's a whole reset and we'll go again. And Navroski gets a clean slate. And because he's got the price tag, because he probably is the better player, starts as your number one alongside Carter Vickers next season. But for this season, he's going to have to accept that Liam Scales is the jersey until he does something to mess it up. And so far, touch wood and all that, he hasn't done that. and he's deserving of his place.
Well, I'm going to throw this one over to you, Chris. Let us know in the comments. Some great comments coming in relation to Ian Roy, unknown entity. Yeah, that's a right good Scottish word, that entity, but normally preceded by separate. And we've got John McLaughlin as well. Scales will bring negativity. He always seems to bring negativity to the discussion. He divides opinion. We know that. Ian Laurie, remember that Scales has played in every decent performance. That's a good point as well. Scales becomes a fall guy. I think he's solid, all things considered, says Marquis. What do you think it means for us in the summer, though? Do we go back into the market, do you think, Chris, for another centre-half? If you do, for me, there's no point in buying a centre-half as backup. So you're buying for the first team. Carter Vickers is going nowhere. You're going to try and complement his abilities with a partner. That would then make Scales second choice. And then you've got this plethora of centre-halves behind Welsh. You know, you've still got Lagerbelk in the building. You've still got Navroski. You've still got Yuki Kobayashi as well on the register. So what happens in the summer? Do we go in to the market for a centre-half? If so, what does that mean for the future of Liam Scales and Mike Navroski? You've disappeared. You've gone mute. You've gone mute on us, and you forgot to switch your mic back on, Chris. We've all done it. Kevin's done it. I've done it. It's not as bad as forgetting the word quantity, but it is a podcaster's curse. We'll wait until you come back in on that one. Oh, you're still miming it, man.
After four years of calls, you're still making that mistake.
Still making that mistake. There you go. We'll see if you can figure it out. If you drop out and drop back in, that can work it. Anything you do with regards to technology, switch it all off, switch it all back on, and it works. That is kind of the level of my technological ability, Kev. Let's move into the midfield area then.
The joys of a live show, eh?
Callum McGregor comes back in, and the discussion really, was it even a discussion as to who he replaced? I have wanted to see the midfield trio of O'Reilly, McGregor and Atate fully fit, fully sharp. I've been wanting to see it all season. For one reason or another, be that through injury or the gaffer not falling out with a player, but him falling out of favour for the likes of David Turnbull, we've not seen that midfield trio as often as we would have liked. Do you feel a bit sorry for Iwata, though?
Yes and no. I'm trying to think of this one. I don't know if this might even be the first time this season that midfield trio has started a game, because Turnbull got the nod at the beginning of the season and then Iwata got injured quite early on. So this might be the first or maybe second time it's been there. Like I said at the top of the show, this is the best midfield we've got. McGregor, O'Reilly and Hatate. If those three are fit, you play them. You just do. And that's the midfield that's going to win you games and trophies. So you play them. Callum's the captain. Again, once he's match fit, you make sure your captain gets a game, and that goes for whoever he is at in any position. You kind of need to have your captain on the park. It was never a talking point, I don't think, as to whether he would come back in. And the obvious replacement on play to drop out was always Iwata. I've got certain sympathies for him because I don't think he's really dropped the ball in us at any moment when he's come in these last month or so. I think he's been fairly solid. But he's not Callum McGregor. You know, as good and as solid as he can be, there are things that McGregor will bring to the game that Iwata cannot. So he's the obvious choice to drop him out. Like you say, you get that balance back, you get the captain, the guy that regulates the way we play. Maybe there's an argument that you could have taken today as a chance to rest Matt O'Reilly, because we've said before that he's a player that might, you know, look as if he needs a game out of the team. But then his form's picked up pretty well in the last couple of games as well. So Iwata's the obvious choice. Sympathies because he's done nothing obviously wrong to be dropped, but he's not been dropped. He's just been replaced by the captain. And that's just how it goes in football, unfortunately.
The captain was always coming back. Has Chris McElwain come back? Let's test him out. Double Denham, are you with us?
Testing. Can you hear me?
There we go. We're back. We're back in action. Yes, we've been talking, obviously, about the future of Mike Navroski. We're at the business end, as they say, of the season. Coming up to the end of April, we're in the semi-final with the Scottish Cup. We're going for a double, and he's not been able to staple his place in that starting 11. Scales, is he getting too much of a hard time, Chris? There's a lot of There's a lot of comments coming through. Some of them are Flynn is saying the Irish Maldini, Bob Marley wearing his Celtic tracksuit. We all know that Bob Marley was a Celtic fan, of course. Yes. And we've also got a few others. I'm interested to bring on Gary Doonan. I'm going to throw this one out. When did Navroski show that he was a better player than Scales? We've all got a perception of players. Has he shown that he's a better player than Scales, do you think, Chris?
No, very, very honestly, no. I don't think, again, he's done too much wrong in his appearances, but his appearances have been far too fleeting to say that he is, in any obvious sense, better player than Scales at this point. I think, you know, that's, as I've said, due to the fact we've maybe not seen enough of him to make that determination. But for me, look, Scales wasn't anyone's expected partner for Carter Vickers at the start of this season. You know, he'd spent the last season at Aberdeen. He had, you know, where he'd done okay. Nobody really thought he was going to step up and make the grade at Celtic. And he, through no fault of his own, was put in a position to be the partner for CCV. But I think what we have to remember is that for large parts of this season, he's actually not had Carter Vickers alongside him. He's had a variety of different partners. And it's a lot to expect someone who was nowhere near the first team at the start of the season to suddenly come in and not only be back in the starting lineup, but actually be what was effectively the senior defender, the senior central defender there. So I think we've got to temper our expectations around what Scales was supposed to have done this season. And for me, fundamentally, he's done a good job. He's been steady. He's stepped up to the mark. He's not done anything spectacular, I would say. I mean, you wouldn't put him in the same bracket as Carter Vickers. But I think he's a second-choice centre-back. I don't think there's anyone else at the club who could have done a better job. I think that's ultimately it. At the moment, in terms of the players who are available, Scales is the best choice. And his performances have, I think, validated that. Going into the summer, I think you're right. I don't think we should look at a backup. I don't think, you know, we should necessarily be planning for Scales to continue to be that, you know, part of the first choice centre back pairing. But what I would say is, I think at this point it's Scales jersey to lose, and anybody we bring in the summer, and it's almost more important we send players out in the summer. You know, I think we need to reduce our pool, but anybody we bring in, I think, has to look and be very obviously a substantial upgrade on Scales. Otherwise, there's no point. There's no point spending money if you're going to get a player of equivalent quality.
I think we go into the summer. This is my take on it. We go into the summer market, hopefully as league winners, and we go in a really good position financially, which we're already in. When you look at the last financials that were released and the money available, the money in the bank, and you can throw on top of that 10 million quid that's coming in for Abada, 7 or 8 million quid that's going to be coming in for Frimpong, if you qualify for the Champions League, all the money and all the riches that that brings in. And then all you do in the transfer window in the summer, all you do is buy quality. We don't buy any projects. We don't buy any players that you think might be pushing for a first-team jersey in 18 months. You just buy quality. And then it's a case of looking through that team and saying, well, where can we do better? Now, if you were to ask me in the central defensive areas if there was anybody that wouldn't be in my Celtic squad, the answer is 100% yeah, because Kobayashi's not shown me anything that would suggest that he's a Celtic player. Lagerbilk, for various different reasons, is never going to make it at Celtic under Brendan Rodgers, so he would be for the off as well. But I think there's a collection of players there that if they come in and they're part of the squad but they're not necessarily your first pick, I'm happy with them in the majority of domestic occasions, and they can even step up as a stopgap in Europe. And I think that type of player is Tony Ralston at right back, Greg Taylor at left back, Liam Scales and Stephen Welsh centrally. But at this moment in time, two of those guys are first picks because we don't have enough quality. And I would be replacing the centre-half and I would be replacing the left back, but I would do everything in my power to ensure that the guys that have got the jerseys right now are still at the club and still fighting for a first-team berth. And I just think that that creates a situation where you've got a challenge for those jerseys, Kev. If you can get an upgrade on Scalesy and an upgrade on Greg Taylor, like we did with Tony Ralston, let's use that as an example, right? I think Johnston, I think Juranovic, I think that both of them were upgrades on Tony Ralston, but I still want Tony at the club. I still want him to be that backup, Kev. But I do feel, in terms of a quality level, that Taylor is at that level and so is Scales.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a club like Celtic, every time you go into a transfer window, the goal at the end of it is to come out stronger. So you only do that by signing quality, by improving what's in your first team, really. You want to create an environment where nobody or very few players are guaranteed a game every week. So you'll have a Carter Vickers that will stand out at the back and a McGregor, obviously, guys like that. For the majority of positions, you want to have a real healthy competition. So for us, it's about going out there, seeing who's in the jersey just now and, you know, taking Taylor as the prime example because we've only got one left back anyway. But you take Taylor, he's the benchmark. So we can't sign anybody worse than Greg Taylor in the summer. We need to sign a left back that's better, who can come into the first team. And then that improves Taylor's performance because he has to step up to keep his place in the team. And that's how we should work for every single position. You look to strengthen the weakest place, the weakest area in your team, in the squad, by improving what you've got on what you've got. And for everywhere else, it's the same. Sign first-team players. There's nothing wrong with having a budget for project players. But right now, we've got about half to three-quarters of our squad project players. So we don't need any more right now. What we need to do is go and spend £6 to £8 million per player on four first-team ready players. And I think that would make a massive difference to this team. It would all but guarantee you domestic success. And while with the new European Champions League format thing, we're probably not going to progress through that, what we might be able to do is bring back a wee bit of pride and respectability to our performances and our results. And we'll not be, hate to say it, the laughing stock that we kind of are at the moment, because performances over the last two decades have been pretty abysmal. But if we start showing that wee bit of ambition, start looking at just improving on what we've got, not just trying to add depth, but add actual quality, then, you know, that's the approach we need to take.
And that would keep us in the top 20 when it comes to Champions League stroke European Cup point tallies, which
Are we the only Scottish team in that list?
Yeah, we are. Right. And by the way, yes, I know the most recent results haven't been great, but I don't think that we've been firing on all cylinders. I mean, they've not been great, but neither has the recruitment. They go hand in hand, absolutely. By the way, Barry Flaherty reminds us that Don Robertson is the ref. How many games in a row has that been? Or how many games has he refereed us in since that Hearts debacle? Quite a few, eh? Since it was called out. Yes, Stephen Kennedy. Good to see you, Stephen. It's obvious Rodgers rates Scales a better player than Navroski. I think today shows that 100%. And Markey says that Scales knows the opponent. Yes, he does. There seems to be less of a risk putting him in there. I can understand it, absolutely. Paul McFarlane, afternoon team Axon. Now the season gets serious. Let the serial winners assemble. We'll walk on. Someone was talking about the misspelling of the word cereal, and obviously you then get all the different types of cereals, and it becomes a bit of wordplay that my favourite was flute and nut. Ian Bettison, surely Rodgers asks Carter Vickers who he works best with. He can probably tell that himself. And the data, this is where I think data comes in really handy. He'll know how Carter Vickers works with X, Y, and Z, and who he works better with. Ewan Boy Martin back in. Ewan, of course, from Dunoon. Ewan will be there on the 17th of May with myself, Peter Grant, and Joe Miller. And tickets still available underneath the video. Sell Navroski, says Ewan, and Lagerbjerg, and buy a top centre half. Scales and Welsh, decent backups who would be happy to be bench warmers. I think Scales, Welsh, and Ralston would be low maintenance players. I'm not sure Greg Taylor would. I don't think Greg Taylor would be happy to be a bench warmer. I think he's got aspirations on an international level. I don't think it's in his nature just to be a backup, but that's not a bad thing because he fights for the jersey and he pushes the standards up, and that's exactly what you want. We've not touched on the top three. It was a discussion point since Maeda was confirmed as injured, but yesterday's press conference, Chris, didn't confirm that he's out for the season. I found that quite interesting.
Hopeful, I would say. I'm thinking, is there going to be a wee, the Rangers game surprise when our former bald maestro turns up and, just, you see Tavernier's face, the colour just drain from his face and he crumples into a shadow. That'd be brilliant. I would love to see Maeda back because I think he brings something to the team that, that no other player does. It's just relentless energy, pace, you know, and he runs for 90 minutes plus. And I think it's a brilliant thing to have in your Arsenal. So I would love to have Maeda back. But it's...
Sorry, Chris. It's just that, I was thinking of Morrissey solo albums when you said that. Apologies. It's just the way my warped humour works there. You're Arsenal, obviously.
Honestly, bro, I know. throw my Arsenals for my honesties. I think, we've obviously not got Maeda back for this game. I think it was always going to be a question over who would step into that position. We've spoken about the positives and negatives both in Yang and Palma. We've kind of extolled James Forrest's virtues as a real veteran of the team. I think today there's a lot for a player like Yang to prove. You know, this is a showpiece game. You know, it's against one of the bigger teams in Scotland. We're at Hampden. This is a game where he really has to turn it on and show his attributes and show what he can do. I think he's probably, for me, the one of the three that's got the most to prove, because despite some of Palma's later faults and the frustrations the fans have with him, I think he delivered a lot more when he joined the club in terms of assists and goals. So I think, you know, he's got a little bit less to prove for me. And as I say, I still see James Forrest having a role not only in this game and this cup run, but also actually in the run now towards the title, hopefully, in the league, that he can come on and make a real difference towards the closing stages of games, whether we're chasing goals or we're actually trying to consolidate a lead. So, it's a shame we don't have Maeda for this game. But look, even if we get Maeda back for the last couple of matches, I'll be delighted, because I think he's a real miss. He's really, for me, established himself as the main man out on that left-hand side.
Yeah, I think that there was a great point made yesterday, Kev, in relation to getting in about Tavernier in the final game against Rangers by playing Kyogo on the left if Maeda's not fit. But, I mean, when I was listening to Rodgers yesterday, it did give us a wee bit of hope that, you know what, he might be back for that game. In the meantime, the big discussion was around who do we play out there. Obviously, Yang's got the jersey. Yang's been in and out of the side. He has impressed in flashes. Palma has shown his qualities, but not so often recently. And then, of course, you've got Forrest. We know what Forrest does, but maybe not from the start. Do you think Yang was the correct choice to play on the left today, Kev?
He's the one I would have went for, but whether that makes him the right choice or not is debatable. I would go with him because I think we've seen flashes in games where he's looked really, really good, really dangerous. I made the bold comparison one time that he's one of the players in the team that's got a bit of that Jota-ness about him, where he's really direct. He's got a wee trick in him. He can take players on and beat them.
Can I come in?
Berbatov.
Can I come in? Haksabanovic. Haksabanovic is like Berbatov, Kev. Come on. Sorry. On you go.
I'm just going to walk off in disgust now.
Throwing shade.
Right, I'm going to look at that clip as well so that everyone can get the context of what I meant when I said that.
I should have it on a button here. I press it every time you make a comparison. I know what you meant. You were not talking about football ability. You were talking about the way that he carried himself. It was more body language, wasn't it?
It's the body language. It was the swagger that he's got, which, you know, Berbatov could carry it off because he had an end product, and Naksabanovic can he? Because he's not most of the time. And so while I am not trying to suggest that Yang is the next Jota, for anyone that's thinking that, what I think is he is one of the few players in the team that does have that wee bit of trickery and quick feet to beat players. And he's shown it at times. He's done it against Aberdeen already this season. And I think he's someone that Rodgers has got trust in, which I think is why he plays. And that's a big thing for Rodgers this season that has been. You know, there's been times when he's kind of played Navrotsky, could have played Lagerbielk at the back, and he's trusted Scales over them, players that have cost a lot more money than Scales, and I think he's doing the same here. Yeah, Yang's come in. Must be doing something good in training. He's been had flashes on the pitch during games where he's looked pretty decent. So I think why not give him the game? Just don't trust him to defend anything in the 96th minute, you know, in the penalty area. But other than that, going forward, I think he's a decent bet to have there. And if you look at the bench, you've got Palmer who can come on and do the unpredictable and put in a delicious cross or shot and score a wonder goal. You've got Tony Ralston, you've got James Forrest, who is just a man for these occasions. I agree with Chris totally on him. I think he's still got a big part to play. And I wouldn't be surprised if his next start for us is the final Glasgow derby of the season, because he's got the big game mentality and he's been there and done it. But enough for today, happy enough with Yang. If it's not working out, there's options on the bench that can come in and replace him.
Yeah, there are. And the teams are now making their way onto the Hampden Park field. I've just got to say, what a tifo the Green Brigade have pulled together for Celtic. Unbelievable, to the point where the Aberdeen fans were filming it. Did you see that as well, Chris? Aberdeen fans were looking over at the Celtic tifo and filming it, taking pictures of it. Such an impressive work by the Green Brigade. Unbelievable amount of effort and cost goes into these things, and they should never ever be taken for granted, because I'm pretty sure when the Celtic side runs onto that park and they're greeted with such a spectacle, it can add to the occasion for them as well. We're just about to go to the action, but before we do that, Chris McElwain, give us a wee prediction.
Well, I've seen Celtic in many semi-finals and finals at Hampden, and now my wee boy's getting older, I'm looking forward to getting back to some of these games, but I always think there's Celtic in the sunshine at Hampden, you know, I've got the potential to turn it on. So I'm going to go for a wee 4-0 victory today.
Oh, brilliant. The wee guy with his hand out there getting the wee high fives from Rio Atate. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. What about yourself, Kim McCluskey? Give us a prediction.
I'm going to be a wee bit more reserved because Aberdeen's given us a couple of tough games this season, and I'll just go with 2-0.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say 2-0. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that all day long. I'll tell you what, though, we will be talking about the first half at halftime. So join us again when the halftime whistle blows. The wee green man would have been playing me instead of Yang. You've not seen me playing. You've not seen me playing. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you all for getting involved on all the different various platforms that we're streaming on now, including our newest toy, Instagram. Thanks for getting involved in that as well. Join us at halftime. All that's left for me to say, Kevin McCluskey and Chris McElwain, thank you for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
One episode. Cheers, Paul.
Network.